Wall fans, common sensors, podcast consumers, welcome to another very, very, very exciting edition of Common Sense Sundays with Go Tell It to the Wall, hosted by me, your absolute favorite podcast host, the one and only Sean O'Rourke, and this is an action-packed episode. We're going to be a little bit all over the place, but if you remember last episode, there was a couple recaps we didn't get through. Well, since then, we've got a couple more recaps to get through, so all kinds of craziness happening on the entertainment news front. Of course, still some COVID updates, mental health, all that good stuff, and everything encompassing one of the most important things on Earth, and that would be common sense. Gotta have a little bit of that common sense. We're getting a late start today. I'll tell you why before we get into social plugs. Not a big deal. I took some time out to go to Art Walk today, the Brewery Art Walk. For those of you that live in Los Angeles, you might be familiar with this. I have multiple friends down there that live there, and they do, they open up their studios and everything else, and I knew I shouldn't have done it. I wanted to go, because here's the thing, I was like, I don't have time, I got a bunch of work to do, but they haven't been able to open for Art Walk for about 2 years, so I was like, you know what, I'm going down there, I'm going to show some support, I want to see it anyway, because it's been 2 long years after usually going twice a year, prior to COVID. So that's why we're getting a little bit of a late start today. I had to come home, finish up some of the prep work, and get my ass into the studio. In fact, my wife, multiple times this afternoon, was like, get in there now. She's going to be yelling at me because I'm going to cause dinner to be late tonight. But it is what it is. You know, it is what it is. All right, now that we're through with that for no reason, let's talk some social plugs. You can keep up with us before episodes, after episodes, during episodes, whenever you so please, and you can do that in multiple locations. One of those would be facebook.com/gotellittothewall. That's right, facebook.com/gotellittothewall. That's our official Facebook page. That is one of the better social media platforms that we actively make sure is updating all the wall fans and common sensors and whatnot. And then, of course, YouTube.com/gotellittothewall. Again, YouTube.com/gotellittothewall. Subscribe to our channel. That's where you're going to find all of our videos. The video feeds, they go up on Facebook. They also go up on YouTube. I know a lot of people like using YouTube. There's also a lot of videos up there that don't go anywhere else except our website. So make sure you're subscribed and checking those out. And then, of course, my own personal Instagram account, which is at SoCalSean, SoCalSean, at SoCalSean. There, and I will tell you right now, that's not all Go Tell It to the Wall related. I always mention that. There's some great photos on there right now. There's going to be more coming down the pipe here. But I'll wait until entertainment news. There's somebody, you know, a famous musician that I am photographed with from last evening's shenanigans. So make sure you're checking us out on the Instagram. Checking me out. You're going to get some Go Tell It to the Wall stuff. It's just, it's not all that. It's mostly show stuff. My kid, all that kind of good stuff. So like I said, follow on over there. And then the website, which I just mentioned a second ago, SeanO'RourkeLive.com. Again, SeanO'RourkeLive.com. That's your one-stop shop for everything, and you're going to be able to find links to those social platforms that I just mentioned, including the Instagram. It's right there on the website, so you can just click. Just remember SeanO'RourkeLive.com. You're also going to find our Patreon campaign up there. Please, if you have the means to do so, become a patron. Help us out to keep this studio running. Bring in new stuff. I'm looking at the sticker wall in my monitor. Not that it helps with stickers, but I've got a pile of stickers sitting over here that you need to go on the wall, and I just haven't had a chance to do it. So we'll get that up there. Yeah, and of course, there's plenty of Go Tell It to the Wall stickers. So help us out. Become a patron if you can. Or if you don't want to do that, you can help us out by picking up some merch. There is a link right there on SeanO'RourkeLive.com. I'm going to tell you, take you to our merch website. You can pick up some Common Sense Go Tell It to the Wall merch right there. Easily accessible. We're coming off a little bit of a heat wave here in Los Angeles. I thought I was going to melt the other day. This happens, I feel like it happens every year. We get this little tiny heat wave in the spring, and then it goes back to normal, I guess. I mean, nothing's normal anymore, thanks global warming. But we hit, I think we hit triple digits the other day, and it was so bad. I went into my backyard to do a little workout, and I was just like, I can't. It is so hot. And we get that hot regularly, but that's an occurrence that happens during the summer. But I think what happens is when you're coming out of winter, and we don't have crazy winter here in Southern California, but when you're coming out of winter and suddenly you're smacked in the face with like a couple days of extreme heat, you're not ready for it. We got to ramp up to this, you know? Like give us some like 80 for a while, and then we can get up to 90 once you hit summertime. So I thought it was going to melt. It was not fun. All right, let's talk some digital trends. This is a fun one I want to bring up for you. Happens every year. I see it pop up every year. And I've actually participated once or twice. I should look at my Facebook memories. It was probably right there for me. I guess I didn't look at those today. I was a little tired today because of last night. And then also just slow moving and then went to art walking. So I'm still catching up on everything. But hashtag National Siblings Day. Hashtag National Siblings Day. And in true sibling rivalry fashion, I recommend that you make sure you are the first sibling to post something because you don't want to be second to your sibling. Or maybe you hate your siblings and you don't want to post anything. Who knows? However, it is that day today. Happens every year. And of course, we have a hashtag for it. I believe it's a date too. So this one just like not a day, you know, like Easter Sunday or Thanksgiving where, you know, it's actually a date. So it just happened to fall on a Common Sense Sunday this year, which is always fun. All right, cancelable food takes. I don't even know if cancelable, is that even a word? Now, this is, it's a fun, joking thing. It got a little out of hand, I'll tell you, I can say on Twitter, because the first one I noticed was cancelable food takes, and everyone's sharing, what you mean they mean by cancelable is that most people are going to disagree with, you know, like, and it's going to get you canceled, in finger quotes. But then it moved along, and there was cancelable music takes, and I mean, by now it's probably gotten to cancelable coffee mug taste. I know that wasn't the best analogy, but there's a coffee mug right in front of me. So sometimes you just got to work with what you got here, you know. So I want to share a couple of mine, and people were having fun with it. That's what I'll tell you. This was another fun one. I enjoyed this one happening. My cancelable food take, I would say, is sweet potatoes are horrible. I don't know how anybody eats them. Everyone in my house eats sweet potatoes except me. My daughter loves them. My wife loves them. My father-in-law loves them when he's here. Everybody loves. I cannot stand them. And now I fall back on the, I'm Irish. Those aren't real potatoes. I say this jokingly. Sweet potatoes, get rid of them. I don't need any of them. There's other things that I don't like, but that's the one. A lot of people are like sweet potatoes, yams, and all this stuff. And I always love it when someone's like, well, have you had the sweet potatoes, you know, with marshmallows on top? It's like, yeah. Grew up on Midwest cooking. You think we didn't have that? I've tasted it. It's still horrible. Get it out of my face. And of course, my cancelable music take. A lot of people like to disagree with me on this. And I will tell you right now, I will die on this hill. Journey is not a good band. No. They're basically a glorified karaoke band. And if you come around me singing that goddamn Journey song, or it's playing, immediate station change, can't do it. Remember a couple years ago, I was in a grocery store and it was playing that, Don't Stop Believing or whatever the hell that karaoke song is. And there's like a group of four or five teens, young teens, like walking up and down the aisle singing it. And I thought to myself, if I go to hell, this is what it's going to be like. So that would be my cancelable music take. I'm sure that I know there are some people that agree with me, but a lot of my friends are always like, what? How can you not like Journey? Did you see the last episode of The Sopranos? Yeah, I did. It's still terrible. Come on now. I just no more Journey. Now, this musician, I very much like Dee Snider. He was trending a little bit. He is the vocalist for blanking on his band's name, but they do the song We're Not Gonna Take It. And this has become a bit of a conservative, politically conservative anthem, because people assume Dee Snider was a conservative. He is a raging liberal, and he pointed out to some people that were like, hey, this is our anthem, you know, and he's like, oh, you're dumb. That's actually about women's rights, something that all of these conservatives are currently actively working to take away. So good on you, Dee Snider, for putting some people in their place. And for God's sake, this it seems like this happens all the time. Like, I remember right around the 2020 election, there's all these videos of conservative Republicans dancing around to Rage Against the Machine and thinking like, oh yeah, no, this is, it's like, wait, what? Do you, no, go find some Kid Rock, some Ted Nugent. You can have that shit, but don't try to make something that's clearly the opposite. And then you just come across as looking dumb. So kind of, you know, and it's Dee Snider's music. I think he knows what it was written about. He wrote it. Oh, it's amazing. Amazing to me. Oh, Adam Schefter. Talked about this guy. And it's so funny how everyone glorifies him. And he's, you know, and for those of you not familiar with sports, this isn't necessarily a sports take. It's just to give you a background. Everyone glorifies him as this great sports reporter. And he breaks all these stories and everything else. But then there's times where you look and you're like, what the hell are you doing? When he announced Tom Brady's retirement, before Tom Brady announced his retirement. Not your place, dude. It got even worse. Just yesterday, I think it was yesterday that this just happened. Now, unfortunately, there was an NFL player named Dwayne Haskins who was hit by a dump truck. He was hit by a truck along the highway and was killed. So Adam Schefter, because he works, you know, mainly NFL stuff, And he tweets, you know, that's the thing. I have no problem with Twitter. I get some of my news from Twitter, but can we go back to writing some actual journalistic articles, you know? And it's funny because sports people, like, they do it the most. And you look at the music industry, and there's still lots of art, you know, we actually, people write and read articles. Not important, not necessarily important what I'm saying. It just gets annoying. I get tangented here. So he tweets, of course, you know, Dwayne Haskins passed away. And what he did was basically, and I'm not even going to quote it because I don't want to give him any more airtime. But basically was like, you know, rest in peace to the guy who was never really good at football. He obviously didn't say that, but he said it in, you know, he was after two tumultuous years. And it was just like, really, this is not the time. This is not the time. Whether it's correct or not, it's not the time. A family have lost a family member who's 24 years old. 24. So many people were grieving. And because he was an NFL player, he played at Ohio State University, which is a very, very large football program in college football. A lot of people knew him, and they're grieving. And here's what we get from Adam Schefter. I am beyond sick of that guy. I don't even follow him. It's just people retweet his stuff, and I'm like, more of the Schefter idiot. Bad on you, Adam Schefter. That's enough of that. And of course, this one had me cracking up. The thing that's been trending the past week on Twitter is, of course, Elon Musk. He bought a 9-point-something% stake in Twitter. I was loving it the other day. I hate Elon. I'm not an Elon Musk fan. I will never own a Tesla. I don't want anything to do with that guy. Do some real research. He's not even a smart guy. He's just got money to throw around. That's all he does. Throws around money. He's just a rich asshole. But I was taking some amusement, and everyone on Twitter that was like, oh my God, it's the end. It's the end. What are we going to do now? And these are the same people that when conservatives like the Orange Menace gets kicked off, they're like, well, it's a private company. They have the right to. And then they're like, what are we going to do? He's going to ruin Twitter. Well, yeah, no, I mean, he bought it. So I was kind of eating that up a little bit. I'm sure he is going to ruin it. But you know what? There's going to be some other platform. And I look at the social media numbers. Twitter is so low on that list. But there are some people that just live and die by Twitter. They've got to be on Twitter. They've got to go trolling people. They've got to do this. You know, Max Collins, Aviv Six, that's what he does now. I don't even know how he has time for music. He's on Twitter 24/7. It'll be okay. Even if he ruins it, it'll be fine. And he's only got a 9-point-something% stake in it. He's not God of Twitter. So everyone just calm down a little bit. But of course, all the trending from Elon Musk. And I did see some of his tweets. Some people were screenshotting his tweets and sharing them. And I was like, yeah, no, he's crazy. That's all right. All right, some COVID updates. Here we go. I think we are going to go a little short of an hour today. And that's probably good because my wife is going to come bursting in here and be like, we got to eat dinner. I got to finish this thing. Jeez. All right, COVID updates. A new variant is here. We've known it's here seems to be now the dominant variant going around the U.S. The good thing is so far we haven't seen a massive spike like we have on the other variants. However, I did a little bit of research, and there's still a chance of a decent spike coming to the U.S. In fact, we are seeing numbers increasing in certain areas. They have been steadily decreasing in California, but they have been increasing in places like the Northeast. So I would say still be vigilant. Vigilant? What does that even mean? Making up more go-tell to the wall. Be vigilant. It's okay to wear a mask still, especially inside. And I'll tell you this. So schools here, even, I don't think there's any school in the country that's requiring masks. I'm pretty sure, because California is not. But I'll tell you, most of the kids at my kid's school are still wearing masks. And in fact, I watch the assembly from outside the gate. Every Monday they do a little assembly and you get some info, and it's mainly for the kids, but there's always, and the principal of my kid's school was like, okay, you know, it's not required. However, it's still recommended that you wear masks inside. It is your choice, but did point out that it's recommended that masks still be worn inside. The majority of kids that I see going into my kid's school are still wearing masks. I think some of the masks, I'm sure some of the masks are coming off outside, when they're running around and playing at recess. Obviously they've been taking them off the entire school year to eat. Let's just be smart about it. We got to stop this 2 steps forward, 4 steps back stuff, because that's what we were doing with the past couple variants. And I'm guilty of it too. I've been out plenty, but I'm still being vigilant and being careful of what, where I'm going, where I'm wearing a mask, all those kinds of good things that you should still be doing. And I'm probably going to continue. COVID is not going to go anywhere. We're hearing that you're most likely going to need a yearly COVID shot similar to a flu shot that you should be getting every year. So it's not going anywhere. It's a good thing to, and I got all kinds of cool masks. I'm wearing my Left Alone shirt today. I've got 2 different cool Left Alone masks. Like, shit, I'm going to be wearing those things when I need to. All right, we got an anti-vax protest here in Los Angeles. Apparently, some of the truck convoy idiots showed up there as well. There is an epic thread on Twitter. If you look it up, just look up the anti-vax protest or rally in LA, and somebody, and it was kind of brilliant. They were like in the back and just kind of live tweeting what's going on. One of the biggest things that got me, and it was, we all knew this, but it's officially confirmation, is apparently Dickie Barrett, the former lead singer of the Mighty Mighty Bosstones, the now defunct Mighty Mighty Bosstones, was apparently at the rally playing music for all of the idiots out there protesting vaccines. Yeah, so we know that. That's fully confirmed. We all kind of knew it, but he's just out there now. Before it was like, well, it could be a different Dickie Barrett. Like, no, that son of a bitch is right there on the stage. There he is. It's not just a name attached to a song. He's there. So we'll see how that goes. And I know, I guarantee it's not going well downtown LA. There's a lot of people there that are like, shut up. And I would love to see this truck convoy roll through my neighborhood. For those of you familiar with Southern California, the Los Angeles area, I live in Highland Park. Truckers like that would not be welcomed here. Not at all. I can assure you of that. All right. This one got me. This is like the perfect example of the first thing I talked about with the variant and everything. So I'm at Art Walk at the brewery, and I'm sitting right outside of our good friend's loft. And he did not want to let anyone in. So he kind of just had the front, like, couple feet at the front of his door and set up these big boards that he has with his paintings. And so we're sitting just outside, you know, And just like that, three young people, like in their 20s, probably, you know, early 20s, come walking through to go check it out. And I'm not even paying attention, but I hear one of them say, like, oh, did you get a mask? Because they're handing out masks as you walk into Art Walk. Like, you need a mask? Take a mask. And this one guy here, over here, the guy go, nah, I'm completely over the masks. No more masks for me. I don't even need that. Then literally a female in the group says, oh yeah, no man, I had 6 friends get COVID this week. 6. I was just like, that right there, what you're doing is what has been wrong the past 2 years. Well, I don't need masks anymore. Well, 6 of my friends got COVID this week. Not in the past 2 years, this week. It's astounding to me. But that's the world we live in, and that's why we've been doing this for 2 fucking years. Knock it off. You got 6 friends that get COVID, put on a damn mask. It's pretty simple. Every goddamn time. Let's get off of COVID updates because I'm tired of it. And drinking out of my Go Tell It to the Wall mug. You too could have a fancy Go Tell It to the Wall mug if you go on our merch website and pick up a Go Tell It to the Wall mug. It's not the exact same one as this. This is a stupid rad custom made Go Tell It to the Wall mug. It'll be the same logo, just not, it's not quite as cool as this one because it's not made by Simeon. But, you know, I can't let Wall fans be as cool as me. Most of you are, but I like to think that I am quite cool. All right, let's talk some mental health. I've kind of touched on this a bit before, and I don't want to get too in-depth with it, but it's a reminder. It's a reminder that you don't have to be friends with everyone. And it's not, I'm not even talking toxic people who are necessarily toxic, but life is too short. So even if it's not like an abusive situation, but you're just, you find yourself some, and everybody's done this, you find yourself sometimes hanging out at a party or something, and you're stuck in a conversation with, and you're like, why? I don't really care to spend all this time with you. And there's no reason to. You don't have to feel bad because you don't want to hang out with everyone. It's your life. And a lot of times, yes, there's obviously toxic people that you want to avoid and you dislike. But sometimes, like I said, it's not that big of a deal. But it can, after a while, have an effect on your mental health. That is something that can absolutely happen. And life is just too short for it. And it may be difficult. That's the thing. I get it. And I've been guilty of this myself. Where it's just still let people in my life that it's like, oh, fine. You know, we got mutual friends or whatever. And it's like, fine, we'll continue. But after a while, you start to realize, like, what am I doing here? Why am I putting my time and energy into this friendship, this even an acquaintance, whatever it is? You don't have to do that whole small talk thing. You don't have to go to that party, you know, with people that you really don't care to hang out with. Don't force yourself to do that. Don't let other people dictate your mood, which is possible. It's very difficult to keep everyone else from not, and obviously not fully dictating. They're not like, doo, 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 doo. Like my kid was doing the wind-up thing today. We're going to get to parenting, but for those parents out there that have watched Bluey, she was doing the wind-up thing, and that kind of reminded me of the wind-up thing where she's like, wind me up so I can run into the bathroom. And she's got to take an extra minute so someone can wind her up, you know, not really wind her up, but it's a part of a Bluey episode where they pretend there's a big, you know, wind up on the one of the kids' backs, and then they do 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 they start moving when they get wound up. So yeah, it's not fully dictating, but it can have that effect whether you're realizing it or not. If you start to realize it right in front of you, then that's when you really got to take action. But sometimes you just got to step back and be like, what am I spending my time and energy on? Is it worth it? You know, is it worth it when you go and hang out with some acquaintances or friends that, you know, maybe they make you feel kind of bad, or maybe it's something simple where you're just like, well, I don't agree with that. You know, and that's one of my favorite things too. Favorite in like, good Lord. And we've especially had it the past five, 6 years or whatever. And they're like, well, yeah, you need to listen. You know, listen to the other side. That was always my favorite. And I eliminated people from my social media because of this. You know, I had a very controversial post I had talking about the NRA and how I have no problem with guns, but you shouldn't be supporting the NRA. That turned into a whole thing. And I was accused of having an finger quotes, echo chamber for my Facebook. And I was like, well, yeah, I'm not on Facebook to debate things, you know? So think about that when it comes to your mental health. And the other one is, you know, there are things like we can argue policy or whatever else. There are certain things. But look at what's happening in certain states in the South. You're not going to have a constructive conversation with someone who believes that you shouldn't exist, who believes that you can't be gay, can't be transgender, you have no rights because you're a woman. We don't have to compromise for that. You just eliminate. It's not worth it. Trust me, I know. I've been there. Still there sometimes, but I've learned to eliminate a lot of those situations and those people from my life. And it's important to keep that in mind. Because you don't want the negative effect on your mental health. Because it can get there. Absolutely. All right, we got some positive news. I like this one. I'm sure you've heard this. We now have the very first Amazon Workers Union in the United States of America. It happened in New York. It was somewhere in the Northeast, a large city. 2 years in the making. The guy that has been elected union president was fired and has been working against Amazon, was fired unjustly, has been working the past 2 years against, I say against Amazon, but it's their fault that he had to work against Amazon because they constantly quash any rumblings of a union. Well, now, rightfully so, we have an Amazon Workers Union. I'm hoping that there will be many, many, many more, depending on cities. And, unions, a lot of times with that, they're location-based. So we're going to see more and more Amazon unions popping up. And unions are the backbone of work, really around the world, but especially in this country. And you have to respect unions. Having grown up working class myself and still being working class, I have the utmost respect for unions, and I think they are vital to the success of workers in this country. And Amazon's a perfect example. Look at how much money, like, that son of a bitch Bezos, he's just like, oh, I'm gonna fly to space real quickly. All right, well, your employees are starving, but cool. Go fly into space. Fucking space cowboy. He was the one that wore the hat, right, I think? Can't keep track, all these idiots. I'm going to space. And one of them was wearing, I think it was Bezos, was wearing a cowboy hat. You're not as cool as that song. So good on you, everyone that worked hard for that and has now set a precedent for all of the other Amazon workers around this country. All right, parenting. I'm not going to give a full recap of this show. I went out to see my brother-in-law play bass in a band and got us on a guest list at the Palladium. Of course, I took my 5-year-old out there. She had a blast. This was not her first concert. She's been out at a ska show. I told you. She's very good friends with Tara from Half Past Two. Tara loves Mike because they have a very nice picture and she loves seeing kids out at the show. But we went out there to support my brother-in-law, my wife's brother. My father-in-law is in town, so we all went, the four of us. Had a lot of fun. It's not really my type of music. Definitely a different crowd. And I'm going to talk about something in common sense here in a few minutes that relating to that. But she had a blast. I will tell you, if you go follow my Instagram, you will see an epic photo of my kid drinking a Liquid Death, which always cracks me up. Like my wife was like, whoa, jokingly, CPS is going to come to the house now. Because if you're not familiar with Liquid Death, it looks like a tall can, but it's water. That's the whole thing. It's funny. It's don't use plastics, use aluminum. If you're seeing it from far away, it looks like it could be a beer, but it's water. That's all it's in there. So there's an epic photo of her with that. And I did say to my wife, I was like, do you remember the Super Bowl ad? Like the whole funny thing is the kids are drinking these. And it's like, it's water. Don't worry. It's water. So that was a lot of fun. I will say my arms were extremely tired. It was quite the crowd there for the few bands that were playing. And I didn't want to push to the front. But then, of course, my 5-year-old, who was not very tall because she's 5, couldn't see well. So I had to hold her the entire time through the entire set. I handed her to my wife for like a half a song. I was like, okay, let me just let my arm's still sore, like my elbow and everything. And so outside of that, it was a good time. And my kid had a blast. Got home a little late is the only thing. Their set started at like 8:30. So that's late for my child to be awake and out of the house. But sometimes those things are worth it. I will say, I don't know, this was new to me. My kid has a lot of fans, family and friends that love to send her stuff. And especially, she gets Valentine's Day, St. Patrick's Day, Halloween, Christmas, of course, birthday. And so Easter is coming up in a week from today. And so a family friend sent her a box just full of Easter stuff. And there's these things. And if you were a kid in the 80s, 90s, you might remember it's like a little cello bag, you know, solid, not clear. And they had these, it reminded me of these things that we had when I was a kid that you would like break the inside. It was clearly like vinegar and baking soda. And then you'd like throw the thing and it would go pop, pop. You know, it wasn't like a firework, but, you know, get a loud pop and would break the bag. Well, apparently now what they have is these miniature balloons. Miniature Mylar balloons. Mylar are the non-latex ones. I'm, I don't really know how to describe Mylar. I just know them because I worked in candy and balloons for a long time. They're these mini ones, like probably, you know, 4 or 5 inches tall, and it's a little mini Mylar balloon. But what you do is you pinch it and you crush whatever inside, and that balloon is inside of a bag, like a little bag, like the ones I was talking about that were around when I was a kid. So you like smack it or crunch it or whatever, and then it starts to inflate. And then the balloon pops out of this bag, not just like loud pop. My kid was loving them, but it was a little bit jarring for me. The first one popped. My wife's sitting there like, bam, and then bam, pop. And it's like, what? First of all, I was like, what are we doing? Why are we doing this in the house? can we get this outside, please? Fortunately, nobody was hurt in the making of these tiny Mylar balloons, and they were pretty cool. But I'm not a big fan of balloon popping. This happened yesterday. I was at a my sis Juliet's birthday party, and they had a bunch of balloons. So what happened was we're blowing up balloons, and we're out on the grass. And so the balloons are hitting the grass, pop, 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 everywhere. And there's a bunch of kids running around. You know, all our kids are hanging out and playing. And then they thought it was hilarious. So then they're making the adults blow up balloons, and they're just popping them everywhere. And so I'm like, oh, God, why? Why is there so much balloon popping going on? And then today we're messing with these things. Like, first thing in the morning, I'm drinking coffee, and the balloon's popping in the middle of my living room. But I will say, my kid liked them. So be aware of that. If the Easter Bunny is going to bring your kids some of these, because they were Easter-themed, some of these funky balloons, prepare yourself. Maybe get the earplugs out. And it is spring break time in Los Angeles right now. My 5-year-old officially started her spring break on Friday. So now I have a fun week of trying to keep my kid entertained. And that's the challenge now, which is nothing new, but it's when... I've noticed this. When your kid starts going to school, they get used to seeing kids every day, and then especially coming off of COVID and the pandemic and everything else. So now it's like, all right, let's line up those play dates. Let's go to SeaWorld. Let's do whatever thing to keep them entertained for a week. So I've got that ahead of me for the next week. That'll be a lot of fun. And it will be fun. That's the thing. It's just, you got to schedule it out with a 5-year-old. Like, weekend's one thing. You do a couple fun things. But when you have a week, it's like, all right, no, we got to schedule some things here, you know, and see how that goes. I believe my wife's taking off some days, so that'll be good. Do a little family outing action over the next week or so. All right, let's talk some common sense. So, Cristiano Ronaldo. I don't know if you're familiar with this. This is sports-related, but I think a lot of people are familiar with Cristiano Ronaldo. He is a very attractive human being. He's a soccer player or football, and he plays for Portugal in the national team, and he's played for a few teams. I think he's in the English Premier League now. Yeah, he is, because it's Manchester United. He had an incident recently, I think it was like yesterday, where he's coming off the field after a loss, and there's a kid holding the camera. Kid, I say, like a teenager. A phone, but obviously like trying to take a picture as he's walking off the field and back to the locker rooms. Ronaldo was not happy, so he reached up, smacked the phone out of the person's hand, and it hit the ground and just completely broke. The phone was useless after that. And then he kept walking. Here's the thing. I often come to the defense of athletes in general, but especially professional athletes, because, you know, you can't put your hands on an athlete. You can't get involved in the game. You can't run out onto the court. You can't run out on the pitch, the field, whatever it might be, the ice. Don't do that. That's the last place you want to get is out on the ice in an NHL game. You will die. Somebody's going to run you over. But either way, you know, I always come to the athlete's defense on that, because we have these incidents. You know, fans spit on a player. They throw things. It's not right. However, this kid was just kind of off to the side and wasn't even getting in Ronaldo's way necessarily, but Ronaldo saw the phone and probably assumed that he was videoing or taking a picture or whatever. Smack. Right out of his hands. To the point that now the police are involved and possibly investigating Ronaldo for assault. It's technically assault, what he did. And I understand emotions. You lose, but I understand emotions, but you are a professional athlete. You have to be able to cope with losing. It's part of your job. You know what I mean? That'd be me if I like broke down and lost it every time I got a hateful email through the website. You know, it's like, that's part of what I do. I know I'm If I'm pissing people off, I'm doing something right. So do a little better there, Ronaldo. All right, this one got me. So at the Palladium on Friday, like I said, took the kid to concert and, you know, very strict security that they always have real everywhere, you know, metal detectors and stuff. And so we're going through and I'm with my father-in-law. Well, I mean, we're all four together, but I'm right behind my father-in-law and he, you know, puts his stuff in the basket before going through the metal detector. And I was like, oh, I'll just throw mine in there too, in the same basket. He's like, you together? I'm like, yeah, I'll just throw it in. Like, just, you know, don't need to move multiple baskets over. And it's like phone and key, you know, I didn't have anything crazy with me. So we put it in there, walk through the metal detector, and we're grabbing our stuff. And one of the security guards grabs another security guard. He's like, oh, come here. What's going on here, guys? Comes over and he looks in the bin and he goes, oh, you can't bring that in here. And I look down and I'm like, my father-in-law's reading glasses? He can't bring his glasses in? And, you know, if you're familiar with reading glasses, you can get, they're very thin. And for people that like to carry them around, they have, you know, a very thin case. Well, what happened was they thought it was a vape. And it took me a second, but I caught on. I was like, did you think that was a nicotine vape? And he's like, yeah. And I was like, you can't bring a nicotine vape into the venue where there's a smoking section? He said, I've just enforced the rules. And I was like, wait, so you can bring in a pack of cigarettes, but you can't bring in a nicotine vape? That makes no sense to me whatsoever. Secondhand, real cigarette smoke, I don't know. I'm not a doctor. Seems like it would be more annoying than a vape smoke coming off a nicotine vape. And, you know, and I was like, okay, I get it. Like, maybe it's a marijuana vape. Oh, we got to keep that out of here. It's like, what the hell? You could bring in a pack of cigarettes and just have a couple joints in there. Like, this is, you're just ass backwards here. So Palladium, do a little bit better. Like, come on. Really astounding to me. Final four. That what's the guy's name? Eric Church. Yep, that didn't work out for him. Now, North Carolina, the team he's a fan of and canceled an entire concert for, they did win in the final four. They did not win in the championship. It's not why I have this here in common sense. And again, sports related, but very much common sense related. So, NCAA basketball, they put the Final Four and the championship, the national championship of college basketball, they put those games on TBS, not on a network channel. Previous years, they were often on CBS. It's a network channel. You can get it over the air antenna. See, I don't have cable in my house. I don't have TBS. I was unable to watch the Final Four. Well, I couldn't watch the Final Four games anyways in Anaheim for a show. But I couldn't watch the championship game on Monday because they put it on TBS. And the reason I bring this up is I'm so tired of huge sporting events being put on cable channels. We get this with a lot of stuff. When the NBA hits the playoffs, like next week, they're going to have games on TNT. They will have some on ABC as well, so some network. With them, they'll put the finals on ABC. The Stanley Cup Finals for hockey, NBC. The Super Bowl moves every year, but that's actually part of the reason why the NFL, I think that they can grab a hold so well. Everything's on network television. You don't have to have cable to watch. There's a few games, but you don't have to have cable to watch NFL games. So I'm really hoping that the organizations and the media companies signing these contracts will get their head out of their ass and start putting these championship games on actual network television. That's just how it should be. And unbelievably, it's not. You know, unbelievable. All right, one more common sense thing here. This one's actually terrifying because we're seeing the fruits of what's going on down there in Texas. There was a woman arrested this week in Texas for having an abortion. She has been arrested and charged. Fortunately, she's out on bail, but has been charged in Texas. So this is no joking matter, what's going on in many of these southern states. They're actively taking away women's rights and arresting women for taking care of their own body. If that doesn't scare you, I don't know what would. It terrifies me. And I'm a man. I would never have a need for an abortion. but it's still terrifying to me. This is the country that we're starting to create here in the U.S. Now, fortunately for me, I live in California. That's never coming to this state. But I'm never setting foot in Texas. Who knows what they're going to get me? Oh, you got purple hair. Up. Ah, yep. Nope. Gonna have to take you in. Wait, what? What? It's my body, though. See what I mean? Common sense. No, thank you, Texas. I got family there, too, but I ain't going back to Texas. They need to fix their asses. Maybe Cousin Beto will get elected there and start changing things in Texas. Disclaimer and reminder, once again, Beto's not actually a cousin. It's a joke because we have the same last name. All right, entertainment news. Let's get into some show recaps and other various things. Then we're going to call it a week. All right, no bassist against racist shirt this month for April. I mentioned it last week, and I thought they were just a little behind because literally, like, everybody involved with Bassist Against Racist has just been slammed busy. Lynn is literally on tour right now. Gabby is gearing up for tour, and she was they had a bunch of shows at the end of March. Paul he's been just slammed with all kinds of stuff, and then T-Mom merch. I know they're just constantly busy as well, but they didn't actually put out a design this month. They'll be back in May. Should have a new artist coming up in May. I'm not allowed to break artists to you, and I honestly don't know yet, but I might know by the end of April. I just don't like to give them away until Bassist Against Racist actually announces. But if you're just jonesing for a Bassist Against Racist shirt, and you don't have it yet, you can go on Chaos Merch or T-Mom Merch, and you can pick up the generic Bassist Against Racist shirt. Generic, I don't mean that in a negative way. It's just, it's basically the Bassists Against Racist wording that's on the back of all the artist shirts. It's on the front, and those are available all the time. It's not a pre-order thing, unless Gabby needs to print more, or T-Mom needs to print more, but you should be able to pick those up. So if you're just jonesing for a new Bassist Against Racist shirt and you don't have that one yet, you can pick that up. They also have a hat. I don't have the generic Bassist Against Racist shirt. I like the artist ones. I get all those, although I'll probably end up with one at some point. I've got a t-shirt problem. But I do have the Bassist Against Racist hat, thanks to Gabby hooking me up on that front. So check back next month. Should be a May artist announced, and you'll be able to pre-order your May Bassist Against Racist shirt. So keep an eye out. All right, Barstool Preachers. You know, we love the Barstool Preachers. I would say the Go Tell It to the Wall family is in many ways part of the Barstool Preachers family. If you are a Preachers fan and you have not made your way over to the official fan group, make sure you do so. But we do have some news if you're not aware of it. They finally getting back to some shows. They played last night in Bathgate. I don't even know American geography, so I'm not going to try to tell you where Bathgate is because it's another country, and I barely know where California is. I mean, I'm not that bad, but I'm pretty bad with geography, I got to be honest. And they were back at it. Unfortunately, they were back at it. One man down. Bungle, the bassist for Barstool Preachers, unfortunately sustained an injury while working his day job. Hurt a finger. So, and he's going to be okay, like not life-threatening or anything like that, but he is in a lot of pain and he's recovering at the moment. So he's unable to play the next few shows with the Preachers. They got Alex sitting in on bass. Alex is the keyboard player for the Preachers. And then they basically have all the keyboard stuff, his keyboard stuff digitized, and then that's going to play along with all of the other live music. So I'm curious, I just got to go and watch some videos, see how that went last night. But big ups to Bungle. He's one of the nicest guys you're ever going to meet. I can attest to that many times over. And hoping for a speedy recovery. Most importantly, that he gets out of pain and is able to, you know, function properly. And then secondly, of course, get back to being the crazy giant bassist that he is for Barstool Preachers. Love you, Bungle. Hope you get that recovery is going well. Take some time. Let it heal. It's important. All right, here we go. I had a couple recaps from last week that we couldn't get to. And we got some time this week, so let's get into it. All right, so last Friday I had the privilege, honor and privilege of going down to House of Blues there in Anaheim for Mercy Music Bad Cop, Bad Cop, Zebrahead, and MXPX. Now, of course, I'm going to focus on my favorite of the two, and that would be Bad Cop, Bad Cop, and MXPX. Zebrahead and Mercy Music did a great job. I was unfamiliar with Mercy Music. They put out a great show. They've got some nice tracks, great songs, so check them out if you're not familiar. Zebrahead is Zebrahead. They're kind of legendary in what they do. Also put on a great show. But I will say Bad Cop, Bad Cop, huge crowd down there at House of Blues for Bad Cop, Bad Cop. I think they're really pulling more and more fans as they're getting out on tours and playing more and more shows now, especially that, you know, they're able to play. They had an album release in 2020 that they've only been able to play at live shows since like September. I feel like that was their first time back at it at a live show since the album. So I think they're picking up some extra fans here and there. And they never disappoint. They do such a great job. All four of those ladies, they're fantastic musicians, just exude energy. I had also had the privilege of seeing them twice over the course of 6 days or whatever. I'd seen them Sunday and then the next Friday after that Sunday. So I am a little bit spoiled. I know, Paul, I'm sorry. I know. Paul is he was quite jealous that we got to see Bad Cop twice in less than a week. And I get it. I'm jealous that you're over there with the preachers right now. So, such high energy. I had a blast. We're down in the pit. Ran into a ton of friends that we usually run into at shows. Made some new friends for Bad Cop, Bad Cop, of course. Was out on the patio. Had the privilege of meeting Remington, who is the newest guitarist for the Bomb Pops. She was the only one I hadn't met. She replaced Polly. So finally got to meet her and have a nice convo. And then back at it for MXPX. And I'll be honest, I was feeling the spirit, as you could say, with MXPX, and I decided to take my ass right down there in a circle pit, even at my age. Had a lot of fun. I will say one complaint I have about the House of Blues, and this is common at some places, these larger venues. House of Blues is like concrete all around, but then you go down a couple steps into the pit, like in front of the stage, which is a large area, but it's hardwood. So first time I get down in there, it was beginning of MXPX, so everyone, drinks are flying, you know, beer, water, everything, liquid death cans in the air, all kinds of stuff. And I'm starting to go around the circle pit going, whoa, 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 whoa. And I'm out there in chucks, you know, they're fairly grippy, but I was slipping a little. Got out of there, needed a break, it was quite warm. Then they got into some songs that I am very familiar with, and so I ran back down there. And I will tell you, the pit etiquette was fantastic. I will tell you, if somebody outweighs you and they're going down, like near you, try to help them, but don't sacrifice yourself. And I made that mistake, and I got pushed down directly onto my hip. Now, the pit etiquette was exceptional. I think I was down for less than a second. Like boom, wah, right away. Like five people picking me up. It was exceptional. But I will say, my hip was hurting a little. And the next day, I will go to look, and I'm like, oh. There's a giant bruise on my hip. This is not something I'm going to show you because I'll get in trouble for showing my ass on the podcast video stream. But to give you an example of what it looks like, if you're familiar with that movie, and it's so funny because this popped up in my Facebook feed like randomly, and it was like fun movie facts from A League of Their Own. There's a scene in there where one of the baseball players, you know, because if you're not familiar with it, they have women playing baseball in skirts. You know, not pants. So when they slide into a base, if, you know, even if you're not familiar with baseball, you know, you go sliding, they're like on their hips. And so there's a scene where they're taking a picture of this giant bruise and like raspberry on one of the player's hips. And I was like, that's what my hip looks like right now. So to give you an example, if you go back and look at that, that's what my hip looks like right now. It's still there. This was a week ago. I'm still recovering. But at my age, recovery takes slightly longer than it did when I was in my teens and doing these crazy things. But still, so much fun. Can't recommend Bad Cop, Bad Cop enough, or MXPX, or any of the bands. Highly, highly entertaining, high energy the entire night. Had an absolute blast. Then, of course, we go to the next night last weekend, which would be Saturday. I was also very excited about this show. Had the privilege of seeing Eichler's Half Past Two, and We Are the Union at Chain Reaction. I am new to Chain Reaction, but I love it. And I love it because I have friends that grew up in Orange County, many of them, that was their all-ages venue. So it's very nostalgic. And I, even though it wasn't my all ages venue because I grew up in San Diego, where it was more Soma and Epicenter and the VFW, you still kind of feel that nostalgia because you know that feeling of like, this was my all ages venue. This is where I cut my teeth going to ska shows or punk shows, whatever it might be. So I love that energy from Chain Reaction. But before we even got to Chain Reaction, we had a little meetup at Radiant Brewing. If you get the chance, check out Radiant Brewing down there in Anaheim. Tasty beers, food trucks, great location and facility, and they have beer flights. I believe you can see one of the beer flights I got is on my Instagram, so if you follow at SoCalSean, you're going to see it up there. And just huge crowds and tons of energy. I'd only been to Chain Reaction once before that. I didn't anticipate the size of the crowd that we were going to get. Eichler's killed it. Everyone was having a blast. I was kind of running around trying to catch up with everyone, you know, people I know working merch and all that kind of stuff. So I was doing a little bit of that, but caught Eichler's. And then, of course, when Half Past Two came on, I took my ass to the front of the stage. Love me some Half Past Two, and I'm going to get up there and I'm going to dance and have fun as much as possible. And sure enough, all the energy coming off of Half Past Two, all of them do a fantastic job. And Tara is just one of the best stage presence vocalists that you're going to find out there. And they absolutely killed it. Cannot recommend their music, of course, first of all, but definitely a live performance of Half Past Two is unbeatable. And if you have the opportunity, they're going to be playing in Irvine along with the Aquabats this coming Friday. I'm like 50-50 on it. Irvine's not close for me, and I got the kiddo and all kinds of other stuff, but I would love to hit that up. So you do have an opportunity to catch Half Past Two in less than a week if you're in that area and you want to check them out. And, of course, this was my first time seeing We Are the Union. I had the privilege of meeting Reed at the previous Chain Reaction show when she was not, We Are the Union was not playing. She was just there enjoying the other bands. So I was really eager, not only because I've heard We Are the Union music and I loved it, but Reed is a fantastic person. Loved hanging out with her at that first show at Chain Reaction and did not disappoint the live show. I didn't even have the energy. And the crowd was so big that I was definitely toward the back for that one, but had a ton of fun. And I should be, I'm still sorting through photos from the past like five concerts. So those will be coming soon. I got some, but I, you know, again, I don't go there with my big camera and stuff. You know, follow Ray Mystic. You're going to get a lot better We Are the Union and Half Past Two photos than anything I took on my phone. So if you want to check those out, killed it, loved it. All the fun was had. And it was so crowded, I didn't have an opportunity to see Tara or anybody in Half Past Two. Did not see Reed or anyone in We Are the Union. I mean, I saw them on stage, but didn't have a chance to talk to any of them. Oh, and that's what I will say is, for those of you familiar with Half Past Two, I was up at the stage and I'm looking at the set list and I'm kind of turning to some of my friends that are a few people back and I'm like, they had no idea what I was saying. But I could see on there it said Three Small Words. And even if you're not familiar with Half Past Two, Three Small Words it's a cover they did along with Talina from Bite Me Bambi. So it's two vocalists. And it's the song from Josie and the Pussycats. It's funny. My wife, like, before she'd heard the Half Past Two, oh, she's like, oh, yeah, that's blah, blah, blah from Josie and the Pussycats. So I saw that on there. I was like, oh, who? Oh, ho, ho. And sure enough, when they get to it, Reed comes out. So you got Reed and Tara both playing, singing. For Three Small Words, which was just fantastic. And I got it on video, but my problem was I was right by the stage, and so I went to show my wife, and it's like the bass was just like pounding, and so you don't really get a lot of the... It's better watched on mute, but you don't get the song, but you do see Reed and Tara rocking the stage for that track. So, and there's probably a better version of it out somewhere that somebody took with either a, you know, good angle with a phone or an actual camera. So I'd highly recommend checking that out if you're interested. All right, and then last night, oh boy. Last night, found myself at the Observatory in Santa Ana for the Maxis Left Alone and Big D and the Kids Table. Now, this all the whole night was just a blast, and it all started out with getting in line. Now, if you're not familiar with the Observatory, they have a large room and they have a small room called the Constellation Room. The show we were going to, that I just mentioned, was in the Constellation Room. Apparently in the big room there was some group called the Band Camino or something like that. Very different crowd. You know, and not in a bad way, just different crowd. That they were let in, their door was earlier than ours, that concert, and so we're standing in line, and we had this fun game of watching everybody walk up and guessing, like, all right, which show are they going to? And then there's a security guard directing people, like, you're here for the Big D show, you're here for the other, you know, and we're joking, I'm joking around with the security guard who's right there, and I was like trying to think of, like, a slacker shirt came walking up somebody, and I was like, oh, no, that's big, easier for Big D. That's a slacker shirt. I could see that, you know, and it's just kind of one of those funny things. So it started off with just that hilarity. Maxis, who I know their music, but wasn't really familiar with them, they put on one hell of a show. High energy ska music. All the fun was being had there. Great circle pit. They actually have a polar bear that comes out with his, like a leather vest with some patches on it, or in a full polar bear suit head thing. So I'll be posting some of those videos too, but going around the circle pit. But at one point, we're kind of standing toward the back, you know, just, I was like, oh yeah, no, this is great. I'm not going to go get in the pit for this one, which I ended up there, but I'll tell you why. Is they're like, we're going to bring somebody up on stage right now. And Tom, my buddy Tom, turns to me and he's like, it's going to be Tara. And I'd heard Tara was there because some of my friends were backstage, and they're like, oh yeah, Tara's backstage. You know, so I was like, oh man, is it going to be Tara? And sure enough, the polar bear comes popping out of nowhere, carrying Tara up to the stage to play a song with the Maxis. Absolutely epic. And everybody was loving the polar bear. That's the thing about ska and punk shows. You're going to see a polar bear in a leather vest sometimes, and it's all good. Left alone, oh my gosh, that's hilarious. I keep my phone on silent, and I got an alarm going off here. Come on now. All right. Where was I there? It's only real here at Go Tell It to the Wall. We don't edit anything out. You're just going to have my alarm going off for a second there. All right. And then we, of course, moved on to Left Alone. And I was wondering this, as I'd seen some video from their previous couple of stops, and the bassist, Jimmy, was not there. And so I was like, oh, maybe he just wasn't on those stops. But they are a Los Angeles band, so I was like, maybe he'll be at the Observatory show. Sure enough, there's only three of them up there. Elvis, Pablo, and Ben. Pablo on keys and Ben on the drums. And I found out afterward, unfortunately, Jimmy's dealing with a family emergency, so was unable to go on the tour. But I will say, even without the bass, they killed it. And I had the opportunity to hang out with all three of them after their set. And pointed out to all of them, like, no. And it was fun. Elvis was like, he was like, I was a little worried that it wouldn't. I was like, no. Like, the only reason I knew is because I know you have a bassist. Like, I've seen you guys with Jimmy up there playing bass. So it's, I was just curious. But it didn't take away from the show by any means. I mean, you don't want to eliminate the bassist, but it's still a great show. I definitely found myself right in the middle of the pit for that one. So much dancing. My calves are incredibly sore today because there was a lot of jumping and dancing. But Left Alone is one of my absolute. And I didn't do a listening to this week, because really you should be listening to Left Alone. They have been around for a long, long time and all of their music is fantastic. That's why I'm wearing my Left Alone shirt today. One of the few Left Alone shirts that I have. I'll call it a few, even though it's many. It's a few. Got a few of those. And then of course, high energy from Big D and the Kids Table. They also put on a great show, and just to see everybody bouncing and jumping and dancing and having fun and seeing all my friends that we see at these shows running into everybody. And like I said, there is a photo of me and Elvis on Instagram. Had got the opportunity to take a photo with them. So that was absolute blast. And then of course one of the highlights. I'm a big Tara fan and Half Past Two fan. She comes popping out because I was like, saw her on stage, and then I was like, I hope I get to say hi, and she comes popping out, so we got to hang out with Tara. But I saw Max there as well, the guitarist for Half Past Two, but he was like way across the patio, and then by the time I was making my way over there, he disappeared, so I didn't get a chance to say hi. But big shout out to Tara just for being out there and rocking with the Maxis and then coming and hanging out with us for a little while. Definitely added to the highlights of the evening. The one bad thing about Observatory is not cheap drinks. I'm like, can I get a half a beer, please? Is it half price? Okay, let's do that then. It's one of those locations. That's the problem with the Live Nation shows. You end up there in House of Blues, you end up with rather expensive beer prices, you know. And I get so spoiled by the brouhaha shows like Punk and Drublick and Bruce Gaska and Punk in the Park, where they're like, you get free beer for 3 hours or 4 hours or whatever it is. You don't have to spend it a lot. And then you go there and they're like, it's going to be $35 for a beer. What? It's not literally 30. You know what I mean, though. Quite expensive. So make sure you're checking out all those bands. I had a blast last night. And before our next show, I don't know that we will have one next Sunday. It's going to depend on my kid and everything else because it's Easter Sunday. I got doing Easter stuff with the kid and family. But if you're in the Valley area, the Southern California area, going to be in Tarzana. No, Reseda, right next to Tarzana. I know the neighborhood. To see the Let Me Downs, along with a couple of other bands and some comedians out there. But just look at, I can't remember the name of the venue. I've never been there before. I've heard it's a cool place. But look up Let Me Downs. I'll be out there hanging out. And if you want some Go Tell It to the Wall stickers, hit me up. Give you a little fist bump and enjoy some great music together on the night before Easter. 'Twas the night before Easter, and the Let Me Downs were playing a show in the Valley. And that's all I have. I'm not a writer. I am somebody that yells at a wall. Not a lot of writing goes into that. It's just unfiltered Sean madness. All right, that's going to do it. Like I said, not sure about next Sunday. We'll try to squeeze one in. I'll keep everyone updated. Make sure you're following us on Facebook.com/GoTellItToTheWall. We'll keep you updated there. Of course, YouTube.com/GoTellItToTheWall. All of our videos, make sure you subscribe. Even if you're not a huge YouTube user, it does help our numbers if you just go on there and subscribe and, you know, maybe like a couple videos, do whatever it is. But it helps our subscriber numbers. So do that even if you're not a huge YouTube user. And, of course, my own personal Instagram, which is at SoCalSean. And bookmark, check back often at SeanO'RourkeLive.com. You're going to find all kinds of great stuff, including our Patreon and our merch website. All right, we'll keep everyone updated when we'll be back. We'll be back within, if not next week, next Sunday. It will be the Sunday after, so have no fear. We'll be back very soon if we do even miss one. Yeah, that's it. This has been episode 75 of Common Sense Sundays with Go Tell It to the Wall, hosted by me, your absolute favorite podcast host, the one and only Sean O'Rourke. And remember, Wall Fans, Common Sensors, podcast consumers, no matter what you do, no matter where you go, no matter who you're with, and especially no matter why you are doing it, always, always use common sense.